Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Omar Hargrove. And in today's episode, we're going to learn about organizing your life for greater results. We're going to talk about the aspect of personal growth as a leader. And we're going to unpack and learn how it can either stall or accelerate your success as a leader. We're going to talk about specific areas that you should get organized in and why. And I'm going to give you 7 practical tips to help you get organized. At the end of this episode, I'm going to give you 3 takeaways to help you directly apply what we talk about today in your own leadership. And every week, I'm giving you a new episode to be able to help you tap into your hidden potential as a leader. We do that by giving you a practical and mental tools to be able to help you grow in your organization. Let's get started with a big thought, and that is a leader's organization skills are pivotal with an organization or ministry because everyone else that you're leading is dependent on your level of clarity and sophistication in handling business. When you finish something last minute, someone else is going to be more stressed out about their role because you didn't organize enough time for them. Your level of organization affects your volunteers, your staff, your marketing opportunities, your potential impact. It even affects people's families, your family. It affects so much more. So many high potential leaders end up settling for mediocrity because they never changed their level of organization, or maybe they never implemented certain systems in order to sustain the moments of growth they did have. It's not that these leaders are bad, it's simply that they needed to get better organized but didn't. And when the leader gets better, the organization gets better. So to help us be able to better understand the impact of organizational skills, I want us to compare it to like driving a car. See, most leaders' personal organization can be seen by how they keep their car. And if you got trash, paper cups, all over your floorboard, you're likely a moment-to-moment kind of leader who is always playing catch-up. And just like a car, you can still get from point A to point B, regardless of how unkept your car is, but you won't be able to handle moments seamlessly. Like if you're randomly going to end up taking some passengers in your car, you're not going to be able to do so seamlessly because you're going to have to, let me move this around. Oh, sorry about all this mess. It's going to stall you. It's not going to be seamless. And you're not always going to be on time to where you got to go because of the lack of organization. You're going to forget to fill up gas the day before, and all of a sudden you're running late already. And, oh no, I forgot gas. And so now you're super late to where you got to be. Or you didn't check the tires and you realize that your tires are too low. Or you didn't clean out the mess for people to get in the car seamlessly. Oh, you forgot to put oil in. See, all these little things, it's not that these things have ruined your day, but because they weren't organized in your life, you didn't keep up with them. When something unexpected happens, it ends up throwing you off altogether to where it makes you feel like there's always something. And see, if you find yourself saying that as a leader, you feel like there's always something, it might be that everyone is experiencing those problems, but because you have not yet got better organized, it seems like you're the only one getting hindered by them. See, because in the same way, you can still get things done successfully while being unorganized or disorganized, but you're going to have hindered potential impact of what you could have done. You could have done it a lot better, a lot quicker, a lot more effective if you were just a little more organized. You could have seamlessly handled changes and even growth within your organization if you were better organized. But when you're not organized, you end up not having the capacity to get where you need to go on time and in an efficient manner because you're still always playing catch up. We need to get organized. It's so important because it helps us to be able to do more because we're not so worried about all the things that fell through the cracks. Let's start by talking about where it counts most. See, what I'm going to talk about now is the 4 major areas that you should strive to get organized in. Number 1 is forecasting. What I mean by that is looking ahead. I think that it's important to even start your day by looking at your day at a glance. When you first get up in the morning or when you start your day, of sitting down and looking through your calendar, looking through your task list at the beginning and understanding what you have to do that day. Now, the level up from that is starting your week with a week at a glance and looking at your week, having each day where you look at the next 6 days, next 7 days, where you're always looking ahead so that you're not surprised by certain things. And let's just be honest, we forget about a lot of stuff too. And when you have this process of taking a week at a glance, a day at a glance, and then going up to a month at a glance, a year at a glance, you can have these, even at a year, just have these big ticket items, these big annual things that you have to do. And you can look at the year like, oh, in the next 3 months, I have this, I have that, etc. And this type of forecasting, all you're doing is reminding yourself on a regular basis of things that are coming up and you have to do. It's called forecasting. And that was, I broke that down in as a day at a glance, a week at a glance, a month at a glance. You could even do a quarter at a glance and then a year at a glance. Break up out how you, what works for you of how you could do that periodically. Number two, the second major area that you need to get organized in is within your systems. See, your systems are the things that you have in place to be able that need to be repeated. As an example, for like our church, a system that I created was our Get Connected system. And I had to organize at what level do I want someone to go through, say, a Get Connected process. And I broke it down into that there's three levels a person comes. They're either visitor, that they have either been to the church or it's their first time at church and they're like the first timers and they've not yet got connected to the church. Well, anyone that's a first timer, I want to connect them through a Get Connected process. And it's a simple system to where if they want to, they scan a QR code, they take a card with them, and it prompts them with an information form. And when they fill that out, it notifies me, so-and-so filled this out. And the system is anyone that fills that out, they're going to get met with either coffee or tacos. They're going to be met with, and it's a simple system, but that simple system helps convert people from first timer to part of the family to where they're able to get connected. And there's a whole nother system to be able to convert someone from family to the forefront where they're volunteering at the church. And the only way to actually have smooth transitions is by having implemented systems to where there are these clear systems that have step-by-steps of what happens next. Now, that was one example. There's a lot of different ways that you can implement systems, but it's the things that you need repeated that you don't have to, in implementing a system to where you're not the one having to check it off every single time. That can have a system that it goes through. The idea here is that the system is able to hand off something clear and approachable to someone else so that you aren't the only one that knows how it goes. A system makes it clear for someone else to be able to follow. Today's episode is brought to you by Gravetop Designs online store. Visit gravetopdesigns.com/shop to find custom-made Christian clothing that's edgy and actually looks good. I crafted all of the designs myself, so I'd love to hear your feedback and tell me what you think. Share your next purchase on Instagram and tag Gravetop Designs for a chance to get 10% off your next order. Shop today, help support this channel. Again, that's gravetopdesigns.com/shop. Number three is communications. This is a big one, and I think that it's because we often think that we clearly communicated something, and then we find out that no one knows what we're talking about. Communications is where you want to get organized to where just saying it at the end of a service isn't enough. You have to do emails, you have to do texts. One time we had like a volunteer meeting that we had planned a month out, and we had planned a month out. We talked about it. We set it in our calendar. And when it came to the day of, I said, are you guys prepared for this meeting, before the evening? And everyone in the group said, oh, I totally forgot. I totally forgot. Can we move it to next week? And see, that was an area where I could have done a lot better organizing by having set up a week in advance, communicating, organizing a text to go out, an email to go out. And whenever you feel overwhelmed in an area, like for me, communication is my weak point, to where I cannot do more than one thing at a time. And so the thought of stopping something and texting everyone to do this, that's like a whole process for me, and I get overwhelmed. And so for me, my wife and I, we work really, I'm the senior pastor, she's co-pastor. We work hand in hand on things, and I delegated communications to her, to where now, after that happened, everyone even asked, like, could you just tell us a week from whenever we plan a meeting and remind us? And so I told my wife, my organizational communications officer, I'm making that name up, but that communication, okay, let's make this system where you text everyone before. And again, whenever you feel overwhelmed in an area, that might be a sign that you need to delegate that organizational skill to someone else. Communication matters. If you can't handle it, make it clear for someone else to be able to handle. And number four, the final one, is contingencies. This area is so important because we often don't anticipate so many things to go wrong. I think that if you've ever done any home improvement work, it's a great example of having contingencies. The other day, I replaced my sink faucet in our kitchen, and I thought, oh, I'll knock this out in 30 minutes. Well, it ended up being like 2 days and three trips to Home Depot, because there's so many things that ended up coming up, and it was nothing that I expected. Contingencies is in a sense planning for the worst, but also you could plan for the best, to where you imagine having an event and having to where maybe you're thinking, you know, say 100 people would show up, but then imagine if 150 people show up, of having a contingency. What do we do if more people than expected arrive? That would be great, but what is our plan B? How do we host them? You want to get organized in thinking of contingencies for the good and the bad. You want to have a plan B, some second options. Now, these are the organizational areas that really matter, and there's loads more, but I would really encourage you to start with these four. That's forecasting, creating systems, having organized communications, and then organizing your contingencies. Focus on these four areas. And again, whenever you feel like you're getting overwhelmed in one area, that might be a sign that you need to delegate that responsibility to somebody else. And that is still a form of organizing. You're organizing someone else to help you in organization. Now, let's end with seven practical tips to help you get organized in a personal way. Number one is start each day with a week at a glance. I find it very, very helpful for me, to where I just start the day and I make a little list, almost like bullet points of all the things that I need to do. Or I'll look back at my list from the days before. But start your day with a week at a glance. Number two, use automations. What that means is, for example, anytime that someone has, like I shared earlier, fills out a Get Connected form, I have an electric automation through our portals and our website, to where when someone does that, they will automatically put them into a workflow for somebody, or it will automatically send them an email. You want things to be automated, to where even if we have like a first-time donor, there's an email that is automated, because I want people to feel thanked for that. If I think, oh, I just need to really remember to do this, I'm going to forget. You need to automate the things that you are likely to forget. Make your plate easier. You want to try to eliminate duties and roles and little jobs that could be automated, so that you can focus on bigger and better things. Number three, keep a clean workspace. I really think that it's important to understand that, just like your car, if you keep your car clean, it will make you naturally a cleaner organizer in your workspace. In the same way, when you keep your desk clean, if you keep it organized, you're going to just feel a lot better, a lot more sharp, because you in a sense are your environment. And you want to, the more that you keep it clean and tight, the more that you're going to feel clean and sharp in your mind and your focus. Number four, create a time block schedule. What this means is, sometimes we break up all the little individual things that we have to do on our calendar. And I remember times where I would put like, oh, it's going to take me 30 minutes to do this. And I have this task and 30 minutes to do this, 30 minutes to do that. And my calendar was filled with all these tiny little tasks. Well, I changed to this time block schedule to where I block off, say, 3 or 4 hours for administration or organizational work. I'll block off 5 hours for creative work. That's where I'll make sermons or podcast episodes, things like that. There's 2-3 hour block for social media marketing and things like that. You're wanting to just give a block of space where you're going to work on a focused duties and tasks. Number five is set timers and alarms for your time blocks. I don't know about you, but I often bleed over to the next time block doing something. I just got to finish. And I really think that I would encourage you to set a timer or alarm so that you can move on. You don't want to get lost in the tasks that you're doing right now to where you end up ignoring the important tasks that you were supposed to do next. We all only have so many hours in a day, and so just allow yourself to stick to the time blocks and put a timer or an alarm, because you will end up overlapping if you don't. And number six, set specific times to organize your workflow. Sometimes we try to just fit organization in a 10-minute time span, like, oh, I just need to do it real quick and I'll be super organized. I'd really encourage you, put organization within your time blocks to where you have a set time to where all you're going to do during that time is organize and plan things out. It will really, really help you. Don't put it off. Plan to organize. You're not going to do it on your own. And finally, number seven, create a 3-tier task list. And this is probably one of the most helpful ones that has been for me as a leader. I used to break task lists, like my to-do list, into all these different subcategories to where I had one for church, one for my secular job, one for personal life, one for family. It was like all these different task lists where I was kind of jumping around all over the place. See, that's when organization works against you, to where you get OCD. You want to make simpler, better. And so a 3-tier task list, what I mean by that is having 3 tiers. That's urgent, important, and passive. Urgent are the things that need to be done the soonest, right away. This is a time-sensitive issue. Important are things that need to be done, but the urgent things that can be taken care of first, but these are still important. And then passive, those are the things that are either like, say, a weekly to-do tasks that you have to do on a regular schedule, or things that could be done at any time. Those are your passive task lists. Creating a 3-tier task list will really help you to focus on what you need to focus on rather than being scattered everywhere. I used to always compare this to the idea of going and hunting with a shotgun or a rifle. And if you're trying to hunt a deer with a shotgun, you might get him as you do throw everything against the wall, but it's going to damage the meat. You're not going to be able to harvest much, and he may just get away all messed up. But if you use a rifle, it takes a lot more precision and a one shot, and you can get a clean kill. That's what you're wanting to do with this 3-tier task list, where you're really knocking out the things that matter most, funneling your focus. All that to say, let's close up with three takeaways. That number one is do a self-evaluation of your organizational skills and rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Keep in mind that your car most likely reflects how organized you are. So don't be giving yourself a 10 if your car looks all crazy. Number two, determine what areas you need to improve your organization in the most. Look at the 4 areas that I gave in this podcast and see which area you need the most organizational help with first, and start there. And finally, number three, choose 2 to 3 practical tips that we talked about today to start implementing within your workflow. If you try to do all 7 at once, you're going to get overwhelmed and probably not end up doing any of them. If you choose 2, maybe 3, then you actually can start building some momentum. All that to say, I hope that this episode made a difference for your life. I hope that was edifying to your leadership. Can you do me a favor? Can you rate this podcast leave a rating and review? It will really help me out and help others be able to see this show in their feed. Until next time, have a great life.